Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
There's a bond growing between Eberflus and Williams. That's a good thing. A strong relationship can take a team a long way. It can even last a lifetime.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Wow. Set me off.
That kind of says everything right there. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And the story that, whether or not you like it, dominated sports media last month was the Seth Wickersham upcoming book about quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams, of course, the excerpt that landed was about his tribulation and what he was going through when it came to his concerns before he ended up getting drafted by the Bears. That all, of course, through his father, Carl Williams. Williams was the one working with Wickersham, the author who was embedded with them at this time. And then Caleb Williams ends up addressing it in his way later at Bears minicamp. Now, Matt Eberflus has appeared on the Doomsday podcast in response and actually spoke about some of the comments, because Marshall, even you said it yourself, the biggest one you had concerns about was regarding how he knew how to watch film.
Going back to last season, everything else kind of made sense. I understood why the trepidation about getting drafted and all that other stuff by the Bears. But then when you hear about the film part of it, which is, I didn't know how to watch film by myself, I was like, well, is that something that's been corrected? Now, he's since come out and talked about it, said some of that was out of context, and yeah, he knows how to watch film. But it's interesting to know that Matt Eberflus has an opinion on it.
Well, and the Doomsday podcast is Ed Werder, who's longtime Dallas beat reporter. He knows that whole, I think, sphere in Dallas very well, that whole environment. And for Eberflus to speak out on a podcast is not common either, as we know, Mark.
That is true. We didn't hear a lot of free Foreman Flus through the years.
Say that three times
free
fast.
Free Foreman Flus.
Free flowing Flus.
Free flowing Foreman friggin' Flus.
Free flowing Flus.
You're doing a lot right
free
now.
Free flowing Flus.
So do we want to hear from Flus? Do we want to hear from Matt Eberflus here right now?
And I mean, that's the next step in this.
This is his his rebuttal.
No.
To the excerpt coming out that Caleb did not learn how to watch the tape properly.
Let's listen to the Doomsday podcast.
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Caleb Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him last year. You're the head coach. How do you respond to that?
Well, first and foremost, Hard Knocks, they do a great job. They really do. They stay
good
out of the way.
Because they're going to be here this year.
They are. And I've been telling the whole staff up there that they do a wonderful job. They stay out of the way, very professional. But back to your other question about, you know, the film watching and all that, I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I've observed, and that's where it was.
Okay, listen, this is all being misframed. Okay, can we go back to the beginning of that? I want to make sure people
understand. The sigh to the breathing?
Well, listen, the way he even asked Matt Eberflus the question, that's what I take issue with. Can we go back to the beginning of that?
One of the experiences you had last year in Chicago was you had Hard Knocks on your campus and in your building. And it seemed to me, as a viewer, that you spent an inordinate amount of time, given that you're a defensive coach, or that's your background, with the number one pick in the draft quarterback, Caleb Williams. And yet recently, Kalen Williams was quoted criticizing the fact that nobody watched film with him.
Stop it right there. That's not what he said.
No, it was Carl. It was his dad.
But I'm saying that's not even what Carl said. That's not what was in the Seth Wickersham article.
Also,
he just said no one watches film with him. That's what he said. That's what he was saying that Matty Berflus was being accused of. No one watches film with him. Here's the actual line from the Seth Wickersham article. At times, Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. No one tells me what to watch. That's the quote. I just turn it on. He's not saying no one watches film. He's saying when he's trying to watch film by himself to do the extra work, no one had instructed him what he should be watching for. That is what he is saying. So I think those are two different things. I think the way they framed that to Matt Eberflus, and you guys can tell me if you heard it differently, but the way they framed it is like, it's an accusation that no one watched film with him. That's not what was being said.
I think you got to read the actual quote. And that's been my issue with a lot of this to begin with, is people don't understand the significance of the story. They don't understand the fact that this was an embedded author that they allowed in. This is not some gotcha piece that like came out to like fool people. This is all stuff that was consented to and encouraged in process. And then Carl being Caleb's dad and also his agent, the agent part adds to this tremendously. And you're right. Is it him speaking for his son? Is it him trying to explain what happened last season? Like, we haven't gotten that context either outside of the author who had the conversation with him. We hadn't heard from Carl. There's a lot to discuss here. Yeah, you have to phrase that in a way that is actually accurate in order to elicit an accurate response.
Yeah, well, Caleb did debunk the idea that nobody was watching tape with him. I mean, he did say that maybe he didn't. I'm paraphrasing on Caleb's behalf here, but let's listen to Caleb. Here's what Caleb said.
That was a funny one that came out. It wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was more or less the sense of learning shortcuts in the sense of, or not learning shortcuts, but learning ways to watch film and be more efficient, learning ways to, you know, pick up things better. And so that was a funny one that came out, in context and how I was trying to, you know, portray it, didn't get portrayed that way. So it wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was trying to figure out the best ways and more efficient ways so I can watch more film. I can gather more information so that when I do go out there on game day, that it's, you know, I'm that information that I gathered through Monday, when we got back, all the way up to, you know, whatever day the game day is. So when I get out there, I can gather it, you know, I see it, I can react. And it's not me sitting there thinking so much about, you know, the rules and these different things. It's more of a reaction game at that point in muscle memory.
You know what he wanted? You know what he wanted, Caleb Williams, what he needed was more than Matt Eberflus staging meetings for HBO Hard Knocks, as the clip that we heard coming into this segment. And Matt Eberflus, of course he loved Hard Knocks. He loved the treatment that he got because they shoved it in our face trying to show Matt Eberflus sitting in a room with Caleb Williams at some point in time in every single episode, which turned out to be staged and absolutely bogus. I absolutely believe that they watched film together, but they certainly didn't do it in a way that moved Caleb Williams in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's just beautiful that, yeah, of course, the best thing that Matt Eberflus had in his time with the Chicago Bears was HBO Hard Knocks. Nobody treated that man better.
The rehab.
Nowhere did he look like a better coach.
There's a bond growing between Eberflus and Williams.
That's what I'm saying. This whole thing is just beautiful.
The only other, first of all, Arielle Moore is number one Hard Knocks MVP, DJ's daughter.
Oh, adorbs.
Number two is the Museum of Ice Cream.
Fair enough. Which is
number one in everybody's Instagram.
I mean, and if you want to throw like an Ian Wheeler story in there, it's pretty sick with Ian, the mom. So, by the way, Ian Wheeler spotted him the other day when I was at an OTA. Ian Wheeler scooting around, looking healthy, looking ready to compete in that running back's room.
The problem I have with all of this is you have nothing to point to from last season that says any of these things were not warning signs. Indeed, they were all warning signs.
From the beginning.
You had everything proven every game.
And I was warning people in real time during Hard Knocks last year, like, that what you're seeing is bogus.
I would love to point to any one of these issues and then say scoreboard. But the problem is the scoreboard also points to these issues.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
You know what didn't point to the issues?
You can't prove it with any football. And like, you can in certain drives. And yeah, like, we know that, like, I'm not saying Caleb Williams isn't talented. Like, that he's talented. I'm not saying that his talent it was absolutely underutilized. Like, these are truths. Yeah. But when it comes to the actual proof of any of this succeeding in spite of all these things, no, they definitely failed largely because of a lot of these things. Like, this is just proof.
You are listening to Rahimi and Harris, along with the esteemed Mark Grody, as we discuss the comments that Matt Eberflus, the former head coach of the Bears, now defensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys, made in response to questions about whether or not Caleb Williams was watching film by himself. He was not. He was watching with someone every day. But that wasn't really the question, Matt.
He's this abused child.
The
He's
Doomsday all by podcast kind of messed up the way that they framed that question. But it's okay, because you know why? It's all in the past. It is in the rear view mirror. Although objects in the mirror are closer than they appear, because they play the Cowboys this year coming up, and that should be fun.
Isn't there an album somewhere?
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I think it's a Meatloaf album.
No, I think there's a song like Rearview Mirror, or no, that's a Pearl Jam song. But there's an album I want to say that where objects appear closer, like a bad Def Leppard album or something.
Photograph.
No, actually, that's a good Def Leppard song.
I'm serious.
I know
what
a Monet is. Good
album.
From far, but far from good, because you get closer and it gets...
Oh, it's actually pronounced Monette.
Here's the issue is, yeah, you can say it's all in the past, but the problem is the past has repeated itself for this franchise many times.
No, we're past that now.
No, I'm sure that they would like to say that. That's a lovely thing.
I'm saying it not because of the listen.
And I'm saying you're repeating it.
Ryan Poles is still here. I get that. So yeah. There is a chance that there's repetition. Further, but I will say this, with Ben Johnson in charge, I at least feel like there's competency on offense, or at least there should be. There's never been a point in which there's been a higher chance of competency going in than right now with Ben Johnson, who is running a very good playbook, designing very good plays, and he has done it with a strong track record in the previous three seasons as the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
I think you're right. I think he does bring the best credibility in of like past Bears coaches, but there was two previous coaches who also stacked some optimism for the offense, and that was Mark Trestman.
Matt Nagy.
And Matt Nagy, exactly. Yeah. Both of those guys. So there are, as Layla said, there are lessons to be learned from the past, but you're right to say that this does, like, this is a straight-A student coming in. This is straight-A's 36 on your ACT, which actually may be correct considering how smart Ben Johnson appears to be. But he's that guy. He's the top recruit. He's the number one overall pick as far as head coaches go. So he does come in, and he yells. So, you know, you've
is
got
it the
that.
Yelling part that really gets you
no,
going?
I'm
is that
actually,
what gets you lathered up more?
No, I'm actually kind of making fun of it at this point.
The win-loss record gets me going.
That is hot. Like, that is, I just
that's what I keep going back to is for everybody who wants to be like, oh yeah, we showed you. You have not. We're not there yet. Did you do the right things to put yourself in that position? Yes. But you get to point to the scoreboard when the games happen. They have not happened yet. So I'm still in the, how can we prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, they're not 10-7 yet.
Because you've been hurt before.
If there's any whisper of the quarterback, wheat thin, if there's any one of those things.
A cool whip, yes.
If there's any whisper of the quarterback, having questions about how he needs to prepare, guess what my number one priority therefore becomes?
Oh my God.
Helping him prepare.
Don't let Wickersham near the Bears this year, by the way. Keep that man out of the aura of the Chicago Bears.
No. Here's why I'm okay with Wickersham being all over the Bears
this
year.
Stay away. We don't want that story again.
Because I want the truth. And it seems like
that story that you created. Well, with the author you allowed to be there.
He's allowed to get in there and tell the truth. Just tell me the truth. Like, some people don't want the truth. They don't want to know how the sausage is made. Show me the intestines. Show me how the sausage is made.
That's why we talked about it.
Show me the menudo.
Yes.
Menudo.
Yeah.
Ray knows.
You want a fresh harvest? Show me the manure that you spread over the crops to get them to, you know, come to fruition.
I think that's mostly microplastics now.
Past the dochi. Is it past the dochi on the left-hand side? Is that the menudo? Right?
Ray's just, they're cackling.
Am I right?
Dochi's
in her open.
Yeah, Dochi's an artist.
Wait a minute, isn't that?
But it was Dochi. That's the Dochi to the left hand side.
And the Dochi is what?
Dochi, didn't he?
He did. He said Dochi.
And a Dochi is what? Is that a cigar?
Brody, you and I went to Jingle Bash, and now you're off your game.
Is it
weed?
We got
to get you back.
What, you guys,
how long ago
was
that? I never looked it up.
Oh, so you don't know.
How long ago were you at Jingle Bash, though? Let's be real.
That was pre-pandemic.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. That's a different lifetime
pre-panorama.
Ago.
Katy Perry,
pre-panini.
Man. I had such a good time.
Katy Perry was a very different person back then, by the way.
Boy, howdy.
So there you go.
Boy, howdy. So nobody knows.
I'm sorry, that's not something.
Wait, you don't know what
you guys
a Dutchie
understand.
Is?
No, I don't know what a Dutchie is. Is that a cigar? The Dutch
Smoke
Master.
Weed every day.
Okay, so it's weed. Ray didn't know.
Oh, he was ready with that one. He was
I had always assumed it was a reference to weed.
I did too.
It is by
but I
a
didn't
group
know.
Called the Musical Youth. Came out in 1982.
Wait, I thought that was Menudo. No?
No.
Menudo is like Ricky Martin and
I know who Menudo, like they changed the band every
year,
right?
It's like a boy band.
It's
yeah.
like the original, like one of the original boy bands. I could have sworn that
Menudo
was a Menudo
is
song.
Also,
I am
also
sorry.
In a dish that features the intestine.
Delish. Is everybody right now looking
so
things
when
up?
Marshall said yeah so when Marshall's when Marshall said show me the intestine and I was like show me the Menudo.
Yes.
It was a.
That's how we got to where
you.
We are right now.
Yeah, that's how we went well off the train tracks. But
if you missed last week's episode, here's where we got. Here's
also,
why we
I'm
got.
Dying laughing at all the text on the text line. First of all, everybody who had references to the movie, would you like to play a game? You all are correct.
Would you
secondly,
like to play a game?
Secondly, all caps 847. All we saw was staged meetings and a bee blanking farm. So that was funny. And then. Hootie and the Blowfish had an album called Cracked Rear View.
Oh, that's
so that
not,
might have been it. Was Hootie.
That's not what I was thinking, but I'll
but Meatloaf
out.
Did. Meatloaf did indeed have a song, according to
847,
called
Objects
in the Rearview Mirror Maybe that's Appear Closer Than They Are.
Oh, that's what
so
it is.
Everyone
that's
is correct, is what I just heard.
Yes. And Dutchies are weed. It's not just
you pass here. It to the left hand side.
You pass it to the left hand side.
Don't mess up the rotation,
to the left,
Brody.
To the left.
Don't
right?
hold
Beyonce,
on too long either.
Puff, there's puff, something pass. About the left. Yeah, puff puff pass.
Yeah,
right?
don't puff 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 puff.
Yeah.
Puff puff pass.
Puff puff pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a smoker, by the way.
Oh,
of,
right.
of anything.
What? I think you just gave yourself up.
No,
man.
I'm just telling you. I'm not a smoker.
I
anything.
Think you're about to go smoke some Dutchie during the break. I bet you
I
are.
I don't think it's called some Dutchie.
Just it's leaking out of Port's office right now.
It's a Dutchie.
Are you doing the Dutchie?
Yeah.
Please don't. When
teach
you,
me how to
Dutchie.
When you ask somebody.
That's my wife, Dutchie.
When you ask somebody outside if they listen to AM radio, oh please don't refer to this conversation.
don't refer to our show at all,
I don't know if it's going to go well.
This is a little
street.
More FM, actually, is what I'd say. This is hot FM talk that's
like,
going on
hi,
right now.
Hi, would you like to listen to my show on AM radio?
We should ask Trista
Let me
Kirk
ask
if,
questions
if she
about all
knows
of
what
this.
A Dutchie is. Hey, but I already know the answer. She definitely knows what a Dutchie is.
Trista Kirk is cooler than all of us.
All right, well, let's ask her if she's passed the Dutchie on the left-hand side this weekend.
Okay, how about that?
Seriously.
She lives in Portland.
All right, well, let's just see how cool she is. You just said that, so you have... I am daring you to begin the conversation with Dutchie Talk with Trista Crick.
You also have a microphone. Why don't you just
I'll
do
it.
It?
I yeah. just
I'll do
dared
it.
You. Okay,
I'll do
all
it.
Right, Marsha.
I ain't scared.
I don't mind doing it. I just thought it would be funny if Layla did it.
So Trista's next. And Grody clearly okay. filled in on Saturday for no, it wasn't Espo. It was Saturday Suckage, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in for, you could say I was in for Espo. I was in for Steve Rosenblum. But I was in for Rosenblum.
Uh-huh. And yep. it's spilling over to
oh
the
my
Monday.
Oh, God. I still got contact. Yeah.
Trista Crick is next with all of us. Let pray for her on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And now it's time for Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Paul George building two contenders just based on his wake is crazy. And both those teams ending up in the finals in the same year is wild as well.
Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We love talking about sports with Trista Crick. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score with Mark Grody on this Monday as we preview the NBA Finals and some big basketball news, a blockbuster trade as well. Did not see that coming. Desmond Bane going to the Orlando Magic. So to talk about it all, we bring in our friend Trista Crick, and congratulations to her joining NBC as a sports and betting analyst. Trista, this is great news.
Thank you, guys. So glad to be on.
Listen, Trista, let's start with the trade, right? Because when I saw what was being given up for Desmond Bane, and I like Desmond Bane. I think he is a great player, although a lot of people might not be as familiar with his work because he plays in a small market. I don't know if you heard, but small markets don't get as much love as big markets in the media and whatnot. But four picks? Four first-rounders? Unprotected? Along with people who can actually play basketball and be valuable parts of a rotation? Am I crazy for thinking that this is a little too much?
Feels like our guy, AK, needs to sort of take notes as to how you figure out a way to get proper draft assets when you trade players like Alex Caruso, who end up being the most important role player for a team that's probably going to F around and win the championship, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is every day, except for if you're the Mavericks, and even then they kind of got theirs too regarding draft picks matter. Yeah, you see the first rounders and how they add up. Rudy Gobert got four first rounders. I can't say I'm surprised at the return when you consider this was an appropriate deal based on assets and movement.
Yeah, this is I don't want to call it a win-win because I feel like that's just a ton of picks. But from Orlando's perspective, you have to say to yourself, okay, we know Boston's not in the mix at all next year because Tatum's out until we'll call it March. And so they're probably not going to have a realistic path to contention. You've got the Cleveland Cavaliers, which to me, I feel like this last postseason has shown the cracks or the issues that you see with two undersized guards in the backcourt. It feels like they kind of have to figure out a way to move on from Darius Garland. You could probably get a lot for Darius Garland. But in the meantime, I think Cleveland's pretty soft. They got punked in the playoffs, so they're not a legitimate contender. You see a team like the Indiana Pacers, who I think are really well built, and I've said this many times, but they're in the finals right now. If you're Orlando and you've got some depth, you got a bunch of big guards, but what you lack is shooting, you say, hey, let's take a swing right now and try to maybe make ourselves the deep run next year when all of these other teams are still trying to figure it out, considering the Knicks don't even have a head coach yet. What does that mean for their team moving forward? This East is wide open for a team like Orlando to really make a deep run.
Is it not wide open for the Bulls? Is that what you're trying to say, Trista?
It's not wide open for the Bulls, Marshall. Not. I'm sorry.
It's just not. And who knows? It may not be wide open for the Pacers after this year. I like watching that game the other night. There was that part of me that thought, yeah, the Pacers are going to go up 3-1 in this series, and it's going to be on for the Pacers. But then all of us in Oklahoma City just did the thing that great teams do. They said, okay. No, you got us in one game. You got us for three quarters of this game. It's over now. The big boys are coming out. And that's what I felt like happened in that game four with Oklahoma City tying the series 2-2. Is it over for the Indiana Pacers, Trista?
What's up, my man, Grody? I have not been familiar with your game, Mr. Prisoner of the Moment, talking about the Pacers.
Yeah.
It's already over, not just for the Pacers this year, but for coming years.
I'm just saying, it's wide open. We'd like to think, Trista, good to talk to you, too. I love your game as well. Good to talk to you. We just think that the pathway is going to be open for other people, too, Trista.
Yeah, I think the thing that you can say, let's be real. And I know Rick Carlisle did his little rant because he believes Scott Foster is going to ref game 7. And so he's endearing himself to Tim Donaghy Jr. But did you guys watch the game? Like, did we all see what my eyes saw, which was this man is calling the second half totally different than any game, even the first half of game 4. We've now got touch fouls where Aaron Nesmith has got his hand just posted up on Shea's shoulder, and he's getting free throws for that? What are we doing? We've got a blatant push-off into a travel that doesn't get called into an easy jumper. They didn't just say, oh, we're going to turn around and show these boys we're the true team. They got a lot of help from the refs. They got a lot of touch fouls. There was like so many fouls called in the second half of game four. I want to say it was 60 free throws or something like that in game four. Egregious. So, no, I think the Pacers are still alive. You kind of have to give the edge, obviously, to the team with home court advantage. But I still think it goes seven. I still think that the Pacers figured some things out about how to frustrate Shai. And Andrew Nembhard needs to be on Shai full time. And if I'm Andrew Nembhard, who's friends with Shai from their time in Canada, I'd be texting his ass all day, all night. You're running from the grind, switching me off of you, getting Nesmith on you. Why can't you take me one-on-one?
Oof. Oh, I like it.
Pacers are alive and well, says Trista.
I do think, though, that there is something to the fact that they both split their home court. And so now I think it comes down to if one of them can take, because the 2-2-1-1-1, if one of them takes from the other's court, then that's how this thing is decided.
Definitely. And I think game six is going to be just electric in Indianapolis. This team is just as deep, if not more deep, than OKC. So I think that the basketball component of this is much closer than I believed it was after game two. I thought there was just no way that Indiana could figure out how to get guys open, and they did. Credit to Rick Carlisle. He's just one of the best in the business.
Trista Crick joining us here on Raheemy and Harris along with Mark Grody. Trista talking all things NBA, but you know what? She got time for the ladies, too. Trista, why are people pulling Angel Reese's hair and thinking they can get away with it? It's right there in live color on my television set. The fact that, you know, there wasn't a further escalation in that game between the Sky and the Sun yesterday is ridiculous, really, because I haven't seen that in a long time. Just the straight, not the strategic hair pull, but the straight hair pull.
Yeah.
Just the outright. I don't know if people know that Angel Reese is from Baltimore, but they don't get down like that. Listen, she's going to get in your face immediately. The Sky in general are such a fascinating storyline because they need to figure their offense out so quick, or we could already have a coaching change. We could have trades made, you know, very soon. Is Camilla and Angel, are they really a duo that can play together based on their skill set? I don't know, but you're right. Like, we've seen a lot of Angel Reese in the news, and none of it has been really particularly positive stuff, considering that she just got her first triple double.
Yeah, second youngest player to do that. Of course, the youngest player to do that. I won't mention her name because I don't need
to. Mention her name because they can't be connected.
They cannot be connected. They just can't. That's where we are with the WNBA right now.
I said this, Marshall. I said this. This is so insane. I said this online. I said, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can actually like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
What?
You can actually enjoy both of them. They're not connected in any way. They don't play the same position. They don't have the same personality. One is much more, I would say, like out in the media, brand deals, a more fashion icon. The other one is going to turn into, I think, probably the best player we've ever seen on the hardwood in the women's game when this thing is all said and done. They had one moment, and yet now in my comment section, it's like, except for so-and-so is this, and so-and-so, and both sides are so egregious, I don't even want to say their name together anymore.
Well, and here's a concept. You don't have to both sides it because it's just sports, kind of like the other sports that we watch. We're talking to Trista Crick. She joins us via the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. With all of this going on, I think that there's also something that is more notable as well in the WNBA, and that is because of her injury, because of Caitlin Clark's injury and then her coming back subsequently, you are seeing a more open league right now. And I don't even want to talk about the ratings. I think you're seeing more competition. The Fever is still also an up-and-coming team. Like, they're still trying to get their identity together. What have you made of just the play so far overall in the league? Defending champs Liberty look really good, too.
They look really good. The one thing that you have to know about the Liberty, though, is that their strength of schedule is second easiest. The Lynx have the easiest strength of schedule so far. So I'm not surprised that both of them only have one loss. Not to say they're not excellent. They are. But then you see a Fever team at home, Caitlin Clark coming off of injury, as I want to say they were 5.5 or 6.5 point underdogs. They end up beating the Liberty outright by a lot, right? So to me, when you see a team like the Atlanta Dream, who have been excellent, they're the third best team in the league right now. They're 8-3. they're a team that I could see beating the Liberty in New York tomorrow. So, yeah, you're right. It's wide open. There's some interesting things happening with the Golden State Valkyries. They're already netting $55 million so far this season because they're selling out Chase Center. So that tells you there's a lot of appetite even for an expansion team with a bunch of six ladies taken from all these different teams. They're really interesting. The Sparks, the Aces are way down. You're right. Outside of those top two teams, it's kind of anyone's game. And Phoenix has been good, too. So watch out for the Mercury. They've made a lot of decisions and changes to their roster in the offseason that make them quite exciting.
Also, have you been asked to interview for the Knicks head coaching job? And if so, did your organization say yes or no?
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to, like, out them. But NBC declined for me to meet with the Knicks.
Good for you. Smart for you.
And last question before we let you go. Are you familiar with Dutchies? And have you ever passed a Dutchie? That was a question from our last segment.
Yeah, on the left-hand side.
No, what is that?
Oh, so you don't know what a Dutchie is. Okay.
All right. I'm not a Dutchie. If I was on it, if I was being, like, we weren't on the air, so I'm going to just say what I would say if we were on the air. I would think that was like a blunt. That's what I would think. Like,
yeah,
that
you're right. You're right on the money.
You're cool.
Is it a blunt store?
You're cool like that.
It's a song.
Wow.
Referring to it.
Yeah.
Are you cool, Trista?
Okay.
Are you cool?
She just proved she was cool, Grody.
Because the Dutch is the like paper, right? That you put the weed in.
You're actually making more sense of this than any of us have. When this conversation started, because nobody knew what
a
Dutchie was.
You thought it was a Dutch Bros, like a latte?
No, I thought it was like a Dutch Master's cigar. Like, there's these cigars.
I thought that was wall paint.
Cheap cigars called Dutch Master.
But that's what they're putting That's what they're putting the weed in.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. So I kind of was onto something, but you brought it full circle,
yeah,
Trista. Thank you.
Trista doesn't... She's not talking about AM Sports Radio. She just makes an occasional appearance on AM Sports Radio. She's new age digital, all the things.
She's cool like that.
I'm sorry,
cool
you've now
like
reached
that.
A confluence of previous references to a previous segment. But I do want to ask, just while we've got you really quickly, anything that you've heard lately when it comes to the Knicks coaching search?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this just the other day, and Johnny Bryant, that's who I've heard. I've heard that it's going to be Johnny Bryant, which honestly, I've heard good things about him. I know nothing about him personally. Heard he's an excellent assistant. Bunch of people who are closer to the situation than me say he's probably one of the only people who could be successful as like a random assistant in that job. But I don't think that if I was a Knicks fan, I would be particularly excited about that.
Yeah, it was like him and Ott for the Phoenix job. Yeah, okay. I remember.
And if you're doing what Phoenix is doing, we've got a real issue.
Oh, Johnny Bryant. After all that, Johnny Bryant.
I believe that our friend Joe Kelly mentioned him as well.
Johnny,
so we'll go back to
Bryant.
That tape. But Trista, thanks again for joining us, always bringing the info and the fun, and now on NBC Sports as well. We look forward to seeing your work there. This is great news.
Anytime, guys. Love being on.
Bye.
Thanks,
that
Trista.
That was Trista Crick. That's so much fun. Coming up next, it is halftime. And I know we're a little bit late to our segment here, but a very famous athlete has proven to me that, once again, fame does not always equal keeping your dollars.
Also, if you ever want to take a free flight, I got a way to do it. It just might cost you some on the back end, and I'm not talking about money.
And I have stripped Matt Eberflus of all of his bears.
What?
Yep.
You're just going to throw that breaking news in there like
there
that?
There was. Boom. Right there. All I right. can expand on that later.
Yeah, you will.
Yes.
That's next on the school.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. It is halftime here in Rahimi and Harris on The Score with Mark Brody on this Monday. We were having fun talking about a lot of things. Discuss the Cubs' wins over the Pirates and also the bullpen you asked for. That's right. Will Venable got ejected yesterday, but it taught us a lot about what the Sox are doing and how they've improved as we check the numbers. And then we also talked about Matt Eberflus on the Doomsday podcast responding to the article and notes from the Seth Wickersham article that came out a couple weeks ago. And Trista Crick was just on with us talking hoops. It was a lot of fun.
It's halftime.
So Ryan Lochte was a major name of the 2010s, wouldn't you say? I feel like he was a big deal.
Swimming man.
I remember that appearance on the Today Show where Al Roker almost beat his tail on live television.
Which kind of also, you know, we talked a lot about warning signs today. I feel like that's come up a lot, or indications that something, you know, would lead to something else, or knowing X about that person. So 2 weeks ago, a report came out that Ryan Lochte and his wife, who have three children together, are getting a divorce. His wife's name is Kayla Reed Lochte, and they discuss that publicly. And then a week later, you find this out. Ryan Lochte and wife Kayla Ray Reed's $270,000 debt comes to light after divorce news. Fame does not always equal success, and neither always equal financial stability. $270,000. So clearly that might make you split, but it just goes to show you that when you are at the top of the world in fame, you might not be when it comes to your actual bills. A lien was filed by the nonprofit Shands Teaching Hospital and Clinic. Medical bills, man. It's a story that is all too common. For $127,000, $977.73 in unpaid bills accrued when Lochte is said to have spent 2 days being treated in a Gainesville medical facility in November 2023. The same hospital is also asking for an additional $39,720.15 for care that took place allegedly in February of 2024.
Wait, he amassed that much debt in 2 days?
I guess.
They must not have health insurance, because there's no way.
Right. Like, how does that happen? Like, how do you not have any health insurance when you got three kids? Like, kids cost money. Having a child costs a lot of money.
So you're saying there's a GoFundMe page? Is that what this is about, Layla? Well, do we have to give Ryan Lochte money?
Also, there's tax issues. U.S. Weekly obtained court documents that the couple have an unpaid balance of $99,696.09, so $100,000. With the IRS for the years of 2021 and 2022. If only they could get them off their ASS, you know, like the commercial.
I see what you did right there.
Yeah. But,
it's your ASS.
Yeah.
And with the ass.
It's just right. Surprising when you consider it. I never ceases to amaze me who doesn't get some sort of health insurance. I know it's expensive when it's out of pocket. And thank goodness I have an employer who helps with that and previously a union, but. My goodness.
You got to feel for the kids.
Adds
7,
up quickly.
5, 23 months old. That's rough.
It's halftime.
Okay. So everybody wants to get on a free flight. We all see offers for free flights. But this one individual, he went the extra yardage, mile, however you want to say it. A 35-year-old man who falsely claimed to be a flight attendant for 6 years to book over 120 free flights was convicted by a federal jury on Tuesday, according to a press release by the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida. Between 2018 and 2014, Tyron Alexander posed as a flight attendant for multiple major U.S. airlines, accessing the websites reserved for flight crew to book free flights using their employee benefits. Alexander is being charged with wire fraud and, quote, entering into a secure area of an airport by false pretenses.
Uh-oh, those are federal charges.
They
man.
Are. Mm-hmm. The carriers named in court documents included American Airlines, Spirit Airlines, United Airlines, Delta Airlines, and Southwest Airlines.
Spirit.
JetBlue, where you at? Frontier, where
come
you
on
at?
Now.
Allegiant, I'm looking for you. He was really
not
getting to work
Spirit.
Here.
Spirit.
Spirit, yeah.
This is like...
just pay the fare.
Catch me if you can.
It's Spirit.
That's like, a good point. That's a good point.
That was my first thought, Grody. Great movie, by the way. Leo just got away with everything.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio. Frank Abagnale Jr. was the actual person. But yeah, he faked being a co-pilot They're the basically it was the backup pilot, the pilot that sits in the co-pilots.
And then he faked being a doctor, and then he faked all of his checks, and he faked everything.
He faked everything. And then didn't he help the government catch other people who were faking things, right?
He does that to this day, I think.
Alexander reportedly flew 34 flights on one airline by pretending to be a flight attendant or staff member by using 30 different badge numbers and dates of hire to book his no-cost flights. According to the attorney's office, he also claimed to be a flight attendant with three other airlines to book flights. So he was just mixing and matching whatever worked, because he'd go to one airline and be like, I work for this other airline, but then he might go to that airline he said he worked for and say, I work for this other airline, and that's how he got the rotation going.
Well, you can buy those it's not an attachment, it's like an add-on, like a keychain or something, that a bag tag that you put on your luggage. You can buy the ones that resemble the flight attendant bag tags. Why am I telling you guys this? I'm just giving away state secrets.
It seems like a lot of work to do what this person did. So, you know, it's like, I don't think anybody's going to take your advice.
Well, what the federal charge aspect of this is not cool either. Like, you're committing a major crime at that point, and it crosses state lines and all of that.
And airplanes, you know, I mean, like,
you can't smoke on a plane, and you're just trying to hop on for free.
You can jump on a smoking plane, though. I want to explain how this happened to begin with. Free flights for airline crew members are a long-standing industry perk, also known as non-revenue travel. Airline employees and often their friends and family can fly standby at no cost based on seniority and availability. According to his indictment from October 2024, Alexander did work from an airline from on or about November 30th, 2015, and continued through the present. Although his position was not identified, he was never a flight attendant or a pilot. He was arrested in March. The sentencing is scheduled for August 25th. And this is a cautionary tale. Don't be trying to get away with stuff unless you think you really are not going to
get caught. What about that kid who always posed as a doctor? He had a pretty good run.
Doogie Howser?
You remember his picture?
Yeah.
No, Doogie Howser was a real doctor.
Oh, he was?
TV.
This is a Doogie Howser remix? Like a remake?
Of course there is, because Hollywood can't have original ideas, or they actually naysay the original ideas.
I'm just telling you.
They don't involve a big-name producer.
You need a guy like Ryan Coogler to bring your movie to life.
You know that dude I'm talking about, the glasses? He always looked like this in the picture.
Yeah, black dude with the jacket?
The lab coat.
Lab coat, yeah.
Yes. We cannot pose as flight attendants or doctors. We'd be found out immediately.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once, though.
The Holiday Inn?
What you doing?
At the Holiday Inn.
Okay. Too many music references today that you're going way back in time.
I just tried. I tried to help. We have
pass that Dutchie over here, Layla.
This is going to be... This is going to be a great...
Pass the Dutchie on your left hand side.
Put your 1982 music back into the cassette case.
Not Dutchie Carey.
Not Dutchie.
How dare you?
Pass the Dutchie.
That might have been on an 8-track.
Pass my Dutchie.
I can't even comprehend.
Can we just get 5 on it? I'll put 5 on it.
Five on is next? Oh, we got 5 questions we're going to kick around next?
See how long he's been away? He didn't know when 5 on it is.
Oh, man. I love 5 on it.
On the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.